Explosive device was also found near the scene. The Bureau has taken over the investigation. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is sharing recycling tips for the end of the holiday season. According to a press release, DNR officials are reminding residents that things like holiday light strings, cords, and plastic bags should not be put in the recycling bin as they can get tangled up in equipment. Batteries and electronics should also not be put in recycling as they can cause a fire if damaged. Items like cardboard, glass, and aluminum cans can be recycled, and a full list of accepted items can be found online. The sniffles, sneezes, coughs, and wheezes could be coming your way. It is cold and flu season, after all. Are you taking your over-the-counter medication properly? Brittany Merlot reports.
Got that common winter cold coming on? You should know that there are common mistakes happening when people pick up over-the-counter medicines.
Patients at times may not read the labels or know what the active ingredients are in each medication.
That's Stetson Petrikis, an Aspyrus pharmacy resident. He said that sometimes people are taking two different products with the same ingredients in them, which doubles the dose and may increase side effects.
It is best to talk to your doctor when, say, if you have a cough, if you've been trying to treat it over the counter and it's been about a week and then the cough gets worse, let your provider know.
He says read the label and make sure it's not a combination product.
Sports bring a lot into the Wisconsin economy, and basketball is no different. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
The Bucks are a multi-billion dollar operation. A recent NBA franchise valuation report reveals the Bucks rank 19th in the NBA with a value of $3.9 billion. The valuation is way up from a $550 million purchase price in 2014.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
Marquette with a win over Providence. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball, the Marquette Golden Eagles with a 70-58 win at Providence over the Friars. Marquette head coach Shaka Smart.
You know, we've had a hard time here at the Amp since I've been at Marquette. Providence has had a ton to do with that, but the crowd has been tough to overcome over 40 minutes. And the way the game started with Providence making, I think, their first four shots, scoring 10 points in the blink of an eye, was not ideal.
NBA, the Bucks beat the Pacers in Indianapolis 120-112. Doc Rivers says it took his team a while to get going.
AJ Green didn't make a shot in the first, and he makes a couple. TP misses wide open shots, and he makes a couple. And it just goes to show you, great shooters never lose confidence. They keep believing. We keep believing in them. That's all we talked about at halftime, is all the shots. I even said, TP, you're going to get the same shots. You're going to make them, AJ. But we got to make sure they get shots. And if we do that, we're good.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today here on New Year's Day, although we may see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s with wind out of the west at around 10 to 20. Tonight we'll drop into the mid-teens. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, colder with a high in the upper teens to near 20. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a special New Year's Day edition. My little sister Heather will be here. We'll talk college football playoffs and New Year's resolutions. Join us to ring in the new year.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Earl Ingram Show on New Year's Day. In this segment, Earl and his regular co-host, Sandy Williams, discuss visions of the future headed into 2025.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying. Brother, 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 there's far too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning, Calvin. How are you, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man. What are you going to do for New Year's?
You know, I'm not a very exciting. I'll probably just hang out at home, maybe watch a movie.
Hey, you sound like Sandy and I. Well, not Sandy. Sandy's probably going to be, you know. But anyway, while we're trying to get Sandy together, Calvin, you know, I haven't done a New Year's thing, and I don't know how long, man. Sandy, are you there?
I am here, yep.
All right. So you plan on blazing?
No, you know, in fact, my twin sons were born 49 years ago today. So I'll be going out to dinner with them, which is something that's been happening for many years.
You know, Sandy, it's unbelievable. You and I were talking a little earlier. Man, can you 2025?
You know, I was saying when I did my estate planning when I was about 50 for the first time, and I didn't even think I'd be around in 2025. I mean, it's like, you know, this is 2025. We pretty soon we'll just start saying 25 instead of 2025. Remember, for the last half of the 20th century, you'd say you were born, you know, like in 1976. You didn't say 1976.
Right.
So, yeah, I think we're there now in the 21st century.
Yeah, it's just. You know, I was thinking about it the other day, and man, you know, I know it's here, you know, and we're fortunate to be, well, we haven't made it yet, but, you know, anything can happen, but man, to still be around in 2025, I remember so vividly, Sandy, the conversations about the year 2000.
Yeah, you know, I heard a comedian talking about this, but in 1985, when we talked about science fiction future years, we didn't even get out to 2025.
No.
We were talking about, you know, 2012 or 1999 or, you know, way into the future. Well, now we're way into the future.
You know, I still watched the old Twilight Zone stuff, okay, you know. Kick me. I told you, I'm a guy that still watches the 1940 movies. But I'm in that genre, and I'm watching the Twilight Zone movie the other day, probably, Sandy, from 1960s, mid-1960s, the Twilight Zone with Rod Serling.
Yep.
And they were into the future, and it was 1985.
And yeah. I'm like, well, you know, the 1980, what was it? 1984 was the name of the book, right? That was way into the future at one point. No, we're definitely way into the future, and it's not quite dystopian, but there's a worry.
Well, we're way into the future for you and I, not for Calvin.
Yeah, Calvin. Now, Calvin, when you're thinking about a science fiction future year, what year would you lock onto? Is it the 2040s, or how far ahead do we have to get beyond imagination?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's because we're kind of seeing where we could go very clearly, or if it's because past science fiction writers overestimated where we would be by now. But for me, when I think of like far future science fiction, I go to like 2,500.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Do you want, hey, Calvin, you're not going to be around then. Not unless the science fiction guys are right about freezing people and waking them up again. You know, that could happen, I suppose.
You know, Sandy, you just, I couldn't help but think about technology and the advancements of it just in my lifetime. And yeah, it is just unbelievable.
Yeah, Dick Tracy's watch phone. You know, I can just put my Apple Watch up to my mouth and talk into it. So yeah. I guess we're there with that.
You know, I was looking at a guy answer a telephone the other day, and I looked in amazement. Hey, Sandy, he's talking on a telephone.
Well, maybe Calvin would know how, but there are plenty of young people who would have no idea how to dial a telephone, right? The old dial phone.
Right.
Which have
the rotary thing. But you know, But you know, Sandy, I was watching Calvin the other day pick up the phone and answer the caller. And man, I'm so far removed from somebody picking up a phone and actually, but Calvin does it every day because of the job he does. But when is the last time you picked up a telephone, Sandy, a handheld phone?
Well, we got rid of our landline. You know, I don't have a landline. What good is that?
But even if we had I still got a landline. You know, for nostalgia purposes.
What's a landline?
but I don't have a phone that you actually literally pick up and put up to your ear. It's a mobile thing that you can.
Where do you put your telephone for Earl?
Oh, you do. I guess you. Yeah, but it's where you can walk around with it. It doesn't have the attached cord to it.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Well, Sandy, come on. You're just exposing me. But you're right, man. I mean, it seems, but I remember when those things came in, Sandy, and they were the new technology. It means we've been around a while.
It definitely does.
Yeah, you know. But thinking about
Look, when I was growing up, my grandmother had a house on a lake and we had a party line. Meaning that
93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. As 2024 comes to a close, we're taking our annual look back at the year that was, recapping our most read, most listened to, and most impactful stories of the year. If you're new to learning about the recombobulation area, this would be a great place to start to see what we're all about. This year, we covered the RNC in Milwaukee and the DNC in Chicago and broke stories that made national news along the way. We wrote about the fight for fair maps and covered elections in the state legislature like no one else. I wrote opinion columns and feature stories and conducted extended sit-down interviews like one with Senator Tammy Baldwin. I hosted podcasts and radio shows and, of course, joined the Civic Media Network, where you've heard me all over the airwaves for the last few months. This last year was discombobulating at times, but we did our best to make sense of it all, and we've got a whole lot more recombobulation in store for the year ahead in 2025.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph is a holiday classic, and there's a Wisconsin connection. Maury Laws composed music for the animated show in 1964. He continued arranging hundreds of songs from his Appleton home after leaving New York 20 years later. During that time, Laws created one quirky pop song. Do you know what it is? The answer coming up.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, sort of where a lot of people's core Christmas memories come from.
Emily Locke with the Oshkosh Museum on holiday traditions around Rudolph. Laws worked for the TV production company behind the show and also wrote music for Frosty the Snowman. And about the silly song he composed. It was an itsy bitsy, yes, itsy bitsy teeny weeny yellow polka dot bikini. Laws died in 2019 at the age of 95, but his music lives on as a wonderful slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Thank you for listening to the best of the Earl Ingram Show on New Year's Day. In this segment, Earl and Sandy remember President Jimmy Carter.
It's much too early in the game. Oh, but I thought I'd ask you just the same. What are you doing? When those arms are holding you so tight, when it's exactly 12 o'clock at night, welcoming in the new year, new year.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday, New Year's Eve, and I'm hanging out with my co-host Sandy Williams and you. So Sandy, I don't need the music.
Well, the music, actually, that's by a group called the Orioles, and that was the very first rendition of that song back in 1949. Everybody else covered it, but that actually is the original recording, and the Orioles were one of the early pop groups.
That was a pop group?
Kind of, yeah.
Well, I guess at that time, that would, you know.
1949.
Yeah. Well, when you think pop, well, anyway, I think about, you know. But anyway, Sandy, Jimmy Carter, and a man, it's safe to say, was misunderstood as the president, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he kind of suffered through a presidency where he wasn't that highly regarded, although, you know, but for the Anderson-Lucy ticket that ran against him as a third party, he might have beaten Ronald Reagan in his race in 1980. But, you know, he suffered a number of situations that didn't bode well for him. The inflation, the stagflation, the Iranian hostage situation that went on for the last period, right surrounding the time of the election. And so, you know, he was a different kind of a personality. He had a big smile all the time and had a Southern accent. And we hadn't really experienced that in a president, for maybe a very long time. He was defeated by Ronald Reagan and put in the rearview mirror. But while he was in the rearview mirror, he began to do marvelous things has, you know, won the Nobel Peace Prize, was constantly recognized for his humanitarianism, and I'm sure had the most remarkable post-presidency of any of our presidents ever.
You know, Sandy, I bet people had noticed Jimmy Carter led the cleanup maintenance crew that managed the nuclear meltdown in one of the experimental NRX reactors of the Atomic Energy of Canada. During the salvage exercise, he drew on all the years of experience he had with the U.S. Navy's nuclear submarine program. How many people knew that as a young man that he was involved in that? Carter and the cleanup crew literally put their lives in harm's way as they tried to clear the radioactive water that had flooded the reactor's basement. Jimmy Carter was a champion of racial integration in schools in America. The passion of his was seen beginning around the 1950s when he encouraged his community to be more tolerant and acceptable of racial integration. As a member of the state of Georgia Senate between 1963 and 1967, Jimmy Carter was involved in a host of social and economic programs. I don't want to get into all those different programs. En route to becoming the 76th governor of Georgia, Jimmy Carter defeated Carl Sanders at the Democratic primary. He went on to defeat Republican George Wallace in 1970 gubernatorial election. That had to be a major accomplishment, Sandy, in 1970, with George Wallace being the kind of guy he was, that Jimmy Carter could somehow, defeat him en route to, riding on the themes of optimism, change, and equality, Carter secured a good win against incumbent President Gerald Ford in 1976 presidential election. The Ford administration struggled to shake of the fallout from the Watergate scandal of President Richard Nixon, hence providing a comfortable win for Democrats. In his first few days in office, Carter issued a presidential pardon proclamation, Sandy, to all Vietnam draft dodgers. That was a big deal.
He was a very courageous guy. He basically followed his best instincts and was not a particularly political character. He was a born again Christian. He was
a real one.
And I think that the evangelicals today should have him as up there on the wall as one of the heroes in terms of being living a Christian life in the manner that. I think Christians would all want to live their lives. So, no, he was a real champion and a wonderful, obviously, in retrospect, a wonderful human being. And I think he's been recognized as that by everyone.
You know, the only thing, Sandy, that I would say is that he will go down, unfortunately. You'll hear people say one of the worst presidents in the history of this nation. I don't agree with that. You know about the Camp David Accords. He established the Department of Energy, education. He did some great things, Sandy.
Well, actually, this worst president thing, the further you get out in history, the less likely it is that he would go down in that respect. I think the early reports on who's a good president or who's a bad president are much more filled with the emotions of current thinking and not the retrospective view of what someone accomplished. And actually, he accomplished a fair amount in his 4 years. He also was president during a very difficult 4 years. And I suspect, quite frankly, that 100 years from now, when they list the worst presidents, he won't even be on the list.
Very well said. 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday, and that means my co-host Sandy Williams. And it's New Year's Eve. So, Sandy, we're going to be talking about current events, as we move forward. 855-752-4842. You can join us on the Earl Ingram Show.
Here comes the jackpot question in advance. What do you do? What do you do?
This is 93.5 The Tap. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale. Wisconsin's Office of Children's Mental Health has a new tool to help parents understand their preschool-age children when they're having big feelings. Melissa Kay reports.
When children are struggling with their emotions and acting out, parents don't always know what to do, many times resorting to a tablet or TV to calm the child. This doesn't help them learn to identify emotions and manage feelings in a healthy way. Children communicate how they feel with their behaviors. This tool helps families identify feelings as well as ways to calm challenging behaviors. It's called the Early Childhood Feelings Thermometer. The thermometer features 5 zones, starting at green, the calm zone, and lists feelings and behaviors associated with that zone, and goes up to red, the furious zone, with suggestions to help the child in the moment, such as vigorous physical exercise or taking a warm shower or bath. You can find out more at children.wi.gov.
Travel Wisconsin has released its snow report tool for the winter season. With more, here's Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska.
Winter is here in Wisconsin, and there's plenty to do around the state. A resource for finding your next adventure is the Snow Report, and Logan Rogge of Travel Wisconsin says it shows more than weather conditions around the state.
It's more than just learning about, you know, what the conditions are. It's really this full-fledged planning resource. So you can click a destination on the map and say it's a snowmobile trail or a ski hill, and you're going to find ideas for nearby restaurants to eat at, places you can spend the night, events that are happening in the area, and all these other ideas to just sort of round out that winter getaway. And you can check that out at travelwisconsin.com/snowreport.
You can also find other winter activities and information on the Travel Wisconsin website. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
I'm Lisa Hale, Civic Media News. For news anytime, visit civicmedia.us.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. People seem to notice the variety of well-reviewed films playing at the box office currently and headed to the big screen over the weekend. Sonic the Hedgehog Part 3 took the top spot at the gate with $38 million and is currently at $137 million in its first 2 weeks in theaters. The Lion King's Mufasa took a close second place with $37 million and change in its second week and is showing some good word of mouth as it is actually outperforming its haul from last week. People also wanted a little horror over their holiday as newcomer Nosferatu, which opened on Christmas Day, surprised prognosticators by pulling in $40 million over 5 days and $21 million over the weekend. Wicked and Moana 2 rounded out the top five, with Wicked pulling in $19.5 million and Moana 2 pulling in just over $18 million. Also opening on Christmas Day was the new Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, which pulled in $23 million over 5 days and finished in sixth place last weekend with $11.6 million. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
It is going to be mostly cloudy today here on New Year's Day, although we may see a little sunshine by later this afternoon. Our high in the low 20s with wind out of the west at around 10 to 20. Tonight we'll drop into the mid-teens. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, colder with a high in the upper teens to near 20. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 24.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, join us as we revisit some of our best interviews from 2024. Have a happy new year. Stay safe. We'll be back live on Thursday.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Earl Ingram Show on New Year's Day. In this segment, Earl is joined by Dr. Jorge Sacedo. In this segment, Earl is joined by Dr. Jorge Sacedo from the Medical College of Wisconsin to discuss cardiovascular health.
All right, welcome back to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As promised, I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Sacedo. He is the Director of Health and Vascular Services for Frederick and the Medical College of Wisconsin and Healing Network. And he's here to talk about the fact that between December 25th and January 1st, so many people are susceptible to heart attacks. So, you know, Dr. Sacedo, you were saying before, you know, we went on break, that preventative care, you know, so I, you know, As I said to you before, I'm 70 years of age. I take a couple meds, a high blood pressure med, and I certainly take something for building up plaque and those kinds of things. I don't ever forget to take my medicine. I don't care how good I feel. I understand why, you know, at my age that I'm able to continue to move and do the things that I do. I am active. But if you don't do those things, is there a certain age or a certain time, Dr. Cicito, that we should begin, you know, doing, finding stress tests, seeing a cardiologist? When does that come into play?
So, exactly. I mean, you said it right. First of all, if you have been diagnosed with any medical condition or any cardiovascular risk factor, you must take your medicines to reduce the risk of heart attacks, strokes, and so forth. So my recommendation, of course, it is to follow as a healthy lifestyle as possible. I know sometimes that is difficult, but you know, just exercising and eating healthy, that goes a long, long way in terms of cardiovascular health and health overall. Now, some people are born with, you know, certain genes and risk factors that require attention at earlier ages. And I think it is also very, very important to take a look at our blood pressure and our cholesterol levels fairly early in life. And, you know, some people say still in childhood, but I would say they're definitely in early adulthood. So my recommendation is know your numbers. And the two numbers that you must know is your blood pressure and your cholesterol. And if they are elevated, they must be treated. Because by treating your very high cholesterol or your high blood pressure, you really reduce your risk, again, of heart attacks, strokes, and other vascular problems. And the other two recommendations I go back, it's exercise often. The American Heart Association recommends at least 4 sessions of 40 minutes each per week. So about 150, 160 minutes of cardiovascular exercise, moderate to intense, to reduce your risk of cardiovascular events. And as I pointed out, just learn a little bit about your diet, smaller portions, healthy meals, include your vegetables, include your fruits, you can include your protein, lean protein. And, you know, I think processed foods and processed carbohydrates particularly have caused a lot of damage to our society. So try to stay as much as possible away from processed foods and cheap carbohydrates.
You know, you said 4 sessions of 40 minutes. Is that predicated on your age? As we get older, it's still, or it does not matter?
No, it really doesn't matter. Those studies that have to do with exercise have done, you know, younger adults and just to continue with those sessions throughout your life. And that will make your heart stronger. Actually, again, my recommendation, of course, for those that are not used to exercise, is not to go out there and start running, you know, 40 minutes 4 times per week. That may not be very wise. You know, have a lot of common sense when doing these sort of things. And you can, it's not really where you start, but where you finish. So if you need to start slow, walking, brisk walks, 5-10 minutes, and start increasing those times from 5 minutes, eventually to 40-minute sessions of moderate to intensive exercise 4 times a week, that's what you want to do. I know another thing, of course, I haven't mentioned, Earl, but I think that's a you know, no-brainer, is what we must stay away from tobacco products, right? Fortunately, well, in general, over the last many decades, I think we have done a good job in reducing the use of tobacco, cigarettes, cigars, etc. In our population, but still, I think there is much more that needs to be done. And that, you know, as I was pointing out, the exercise, the eating healthy, the cholesterol and the blood pressure, well, absolutely, we must not use tobacco products because that really increases your risk of all sorts of health-related matters, cancer, strokes, heart attacks, and so forth.
If you're just joining us, I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Sicedo. He is the Director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin Healing Network. And, you know, he's here because, for whatever reason, people are more susceptible to heart attacks between December 25th and January 1st. You mentioned tobacco products. Does that include marijuana?
Well, a good point. Yeah, you know, I actually had the privilege of writing a review article with many members, a selected group of, you know, within the American Heart Association that was published about the cardiovascular effects of marijuana. And I think there is still a lot that we are learning from marijuana. And, you know, first of all, any product that burns, that we inhale, is just bad for our lungs in general, right? So that's without saying. But there are also, you know, matters with the use of marijuana-related products that may increase, you know, the number of palpitations and arrhythmias that we have in our heart, and other matters, atrial fibrillation and so forth. So we have not, when putting together the potential benefits in people that may have, let's say, terminal cancer or other matters that are using marijuana for medicinal purposes, I mean, those things need to be definitely discussed with patient's physician, because there may be an upside for certain patients. But the general recommendation is that the use of marijuana or marijuana-related products actually may affect the heart as well in a different way than tobacco products. But it is not something that we recommend its regular use.
Dr. Sicedo, so if once a person has a heart attack,
yes, sir,
their life changes forever. So it's not something that you really want to have to go through. So what we should be doing is certainly doing everything within our power to prevent it from happening and not have to be on the other side of it. Is it safe to say that, sir?
That's right. That's what I wanted to spend more time on, prevention than on treatment.
Yes.
We are doing great, fortunately, right? If somebody develops a heart attack, as I pointed out, you know, severe chest pressure, they cannot breathe, neck discomfort, jaw discomfort, upper back, you know, and people that realize that they were able to walk certain amount of, you know, feet, and now they cannot because they're short of breath. That's also a manifestation of blockages in someone's heart. If somebody's having a heart attack, you recognize those symptoms, or a stroke, right? I think it is very important also to recognize strokes early. You come to the hospital and we can take care of that heart attack and increase your dramatic chances of survival and having more or less a normal life after a heart attack, if the heart attack is dealt with
immediately,
early.
Right.
So if somebody develops chest pain, you know, and these other symptoms that I was mentioning, come to the hospital, they're having a major heart attack, we go to what we call the catheterization laboratories to do some plumbing. So we put, you know, catheters inside of the heart, clean up the artery, clean up the clot, and that saves the heart from dying. Same with the brain. There's this clot, you know, somebody's having a stroke, we go get the clot out and we prevent brain tissue from dying. And that is very, very, very important in terms of improving the chance of someone to having, reducing, you know, neurological deficit or cardiovascular, cardiac-related matters like heart failure, et cetera, after a heart attack. So, then it comes what we call secondary prevention. Once you had a heart attack, you are definitely at a high risk of developing another heart attack. So we are way more aggressive in reducing the risk of someone who has had a heart attack that in someone who hasn't, that, you know, doesn't smoke, has normal cholesterol, etc. So if someone has had a heart attack, then we really work very hard and bring the cholesterol to very, very low numbers, the bad cholesterol, to really control the blood pressure very aggressively, to ensure the same things, the exercise, the eating healthy. But in order to prevent another heart attack, we need to be more aggressive in managing these risk factors. So I am with you, Earl. I think it's much better to prevent than to treat, or prevent a second heart attack, right? Becomes a little harder.
You know, Doc, I have to tell you, I keep saying I'm 70 years old. And I say that because in my mind and physically, I don't feel 70. Yeah. And so when I go out, if it's shoveling snow, if it's blowing snow, whatever it is, I've always been used to being active and moving. In my mind, it's like, hey man, I don't feel 70. But I am, right? And so I've got to be more cognizant of the fact that I'm not that 45-year-old strapping buck that I used to be. But in my mind, it leads me to believe that. But I've learned over the last 10, 15 years or so that, man, I've got to do all that I can to not wind up with those kinds of serious health issues, because it's so much more difficult to overcome as we age.
Yeah, agree. Investing a little bit of time and a little bit on, you know, effort on our health just brings tremendous, benefits in terms of quality of life. Not only improving the number of years that your chance of living a longer life, which everybody wants, but I think we are all more interested in
your quality,
in living high quality, yes, high quality life, right? And if we don't invest a little bit on that, you know, the problem is that, you know, chances of these strokes and having been incapacitated neurologically or having a heart attack and then having the heart failure symptoms, etc., that just doesn't become fun, right? So it is, again, not only about the quantity of life, but the quality of life that we want to live, and just really small investments in our health, small investments in our health over a long period of time will bring tremendous benefits.
So I'm joined by Dr. Jorge Sacedo. He is the director of Heart and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin and Healing Network. And I will say, as we continue this conversation, 855-752-4842, you're tuned into a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Heroicdeed.com.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Facing an energy crisis, high inflation, and rising unemployment, President Jimmy Carter addressed the nation in his Crisis of Confidence speech on July 15, 1979.
The erosion of our confidence in the future is threatening to destroy the social and the political fabric of America. The confidence that we have always had as a people is not simply some romantic dream or a proverb in a dusty book that we read just on the 4th of July. It is the idea which founded our nation and has guided our development as a people. Confidence in the future has supported everything else. Public institutions and private enterprise, our own families and the very Constitution of the United States. Confidence has defined our course and has served as a link between generations. We've always believed in something called progress. We've always had a faith that the days of our children would be better than our own. Our people are losing that faith, not only in government itself, but in the ability as citizens to serve as the ultimate rulers and shapers of our democracy.
We've linked the full speech at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Thank you for listening to the Best of the Earl Ingram Show on New Year's Day. In this segment, Earl is joined by Dr. Jorge Saucedo from the Medical College of Wisconsin to discuss cardiovascular health.
All right, welcome back to Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. I am so happy to be joined by Dr. Jorge Saucedo. He is the Director of Health and Vascular Services for Frater and the Medical College of Wisconsin Healing Network. So, Dr. Saucedo, are men more apt or more likely to have heart attacks than women?
The difference is only on the age, Earl. You could say that men have cardiovascular problems about a decade before women do. A number of issues related to our habits, our hormones, and the way we're made, right? But women have as many cardiovascular problems as we do, or more, if you adjust for age, you know, if you just give them another decade. It's interesting because, you know, women die more of cardiovascular causes than of cancer. If you put all the types of cancer together, you know, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, all sorts of cancer together, lung and colon and whatnot, and if you put cardiovascular issues, women die more of cardiovascular problems than of cancer. So actually, a little girl would have about an 11-fold greater chances of having a cardiovascular event than dying of breast cancer. It doesn't mean that we should not be, you know, preventing and screening and, you know, for cancer and so forth. But the answer to your question is as many women as men die of cardiovascular issues. Cardiovascular problems are the number one cause of death, both in men and in women. But usually, again, it manifests just a few years later, about a decade later than in men, generally speaking.
You know, doctor, I would say that, you know, in doing radio, I always say the real purpose of it, from my perspective, is to have and get information like this conversation you and I are having out to the community. Because, you know, we could talk about a million different things. I could talk about a million different things, but none, I think, as important as a discussion that you and I are having this morning. And I want to invite you back because I think it's so critically important. As time goes on and the information that you guys are learning and gathering and the times that we live in, a lot of these things can be prevented more than they could 30, 40 years ago, 20 years ago, because of the technology and the advancement of the knowledge you have. Is it safe to say that, sir?
Yeah. I would say, yes, sir. You know, you mentioned technology. The chances of us surviving a heart attack today are much greater than years ago. The chances of us living many more years, thanks to great medications, thanks to, again, what, you know, drug discovery, et cetera, much greater now than years ago. You know, just about 30 years ago, we didn't have really drugs to treat heart failure. Now we have, you know, fantastic medications that prolong the life of people with heart failure. And I can go on and on, you know, with blood thinners and so forth. So I think we live in the best of times. And we are lucky that many of us, although not all, and we need to continue to work towards providing healthcare to those that do not have access to healthcare, right? Because that's what differentiates, you know, how people do as well in terms of surviving. You probably know, Earl, that depending on the zip code that you may live.
Absolutely.
There may be as many as 15, 20 years of difference on your life expectancy. And a lot of that has to do with, yes, social issues and so forth, but also access to healthcare. So I think much needs to be done in general to ensure the access to good care to all of our population, which in turn will lead to better prevention and better treatment of disease to ensure that all of us, not some of us, but all of us have access to that innovation, that technology, that has been developed over the last many years.
So I'm going to try to squeeze Tom quickly.
Good morning, Earl. It wasn't a plumbing issue with my heart. When I was 39 years old, I had an electrical problem with my heart. And that's why I remind anybody, if you start having palpitations, if you start having arrhythmias, go to the emergency room like I did. That's why I'm alive today. There is a difference between having a, I've worked out my whole life and I'm in great shape. But the thing is, the electrical part of it is a totally different animal.
Hey Tom, I wish we had more time, but thank you. So let me say this to you, Dr. Cicito. I want to invite you back. Because there's so much grounds that we need to cover as it relates to this. So if I extend the invitation to you, can we get you back on sometime in the near future?
It will be my pleasure, Earl. Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much, Doctor. Really appreciate it. Keep up the good work. Up next, I'm going to be joined by Alan Borsak from Marquette University Law School, a renowned Milwaukee Journal Sentinel education reporter. Thank you very much, Dr. Cicito. Have a great new year. You're tuned in to a Motown Monday on the Earl Ingram Show.
I don't want no mouth. I want to dance. Oh, yeah. Sure enough grooving now, y'all. Look at me. Oh, yeah. I just can't stop dancing.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinair on Air.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Happy New Year. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff wishing you the best for 2025, especially curated. Matinair on Air coming up for you on the show. Thanks for joining us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Police in New Orleans say a driver intentionally slammed his truck into a group of people on Bourbon Street early this morning.
It is a very tragic situation for me to tell you that we know we have 10 people that this man killed.
New Orleans Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick says another 35 people were injured. CBS reporter Katie Weiss says after the crash, the driver opened fire, wounding two police officers. They are in stable condition.
Witnesses described it more as a rifle-style automatic weapon who shot allegedly at these police officers. But as far as what may have happened, we're still trying to find out.
This medic was staying at a nearby hotel for New Year's Eve.
We heard loud banging sounds, and when we looked out the window, we noticed there was a lot of bodies laying on the ground.
The FBI says an improvised explosive device was also found near the scene. The Bureau has taken over the investigation. CBS News Special Report. I'm Michael Wallace.